Well, I guess what we're trying to do is find out where this house was originally and at what point it started getting remodeled or changed.
I bet it's for now.
Yeah.
Please.
In your basement.
Please. And Mrs. Pepke, we're going to record this, if that's okay with you. Okay.
I think the best thing.
And take notes, yeah.
Sort of remember.
Sue me for it.
Actually bought the house.
Well, what you remember about the house and.
Well, I can tell you how I first saw the house.
Uh-huh.
Walter and I came over here with Judge Shaw. And he said that he thought this house could be bought for very, very little. I've forgotten how much it was.
What year was this?
I imagine it was 45. The summer of 45. Mm-hmm. I'd come here, you know, in 39.
Mm-hmm.
Skiing. And then we couldn't get back here until the war was over. Or at the end of the war. And so we came over here on a bright and sunny day. So it must have been the summer of 45. With Judge Shaw. And he had no keys to the house. So we walked up and he jimmied a window that was right there. And first he got in his stomach, and then we slid in, Walter and I. And there were doors here.
Right here.
You know, like French doors. So we couldn't see in here. Mm-hmm.
And what, I remember walking in.
Remember if there was a fireplace there?
No. It was all blocked up.
All blocked up.
Everything was blocked up. We walked in here, and the door must have been further open. I probably changed it. The door must have been. No,
there were double doors here. And there was a brass bed right over here. Mm-hmm. And there were umbrellas up here. Because the ceiling was leaking. And the woman who lived here at that time evidently put the umbrellas over the bed to keep the water off of it.
Now, that was Mrs. Stollard.
You know, I really don't know who it was, but it was the last person, and she was an elderly woman who lived here. And then there were doors here that went into that room. And one door was, this was closed up, this door right here. There was one door that was open and closed, and there were men's boots that you saw under the door like this. And I gave a shriek because I thought there was a live man here. There was no furniture in the house to speak of. There were no mantelpieces. All the fireplaces were locked up because it just took whatever heat they had and heat up the fireplace. Anyway, it was something awful. She may have been, I think of a Frankenstove. And these ones that used the chimney. They blocked off the fireplaces and put Frankenstove in. In the hallway, I don't remember anything but that being blocked up. And so, these mantelpieces came out of an old house that we had, which is called the Ghost House, in the middle school's auditorium is known at San Fernando.
Mm-hmm.
That awful one there.
And
there was a ghost house there.
Is this the house? Do you remember? The Gillespie
that's
house?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the house. And we owned that.
Uh-huh.
And Walter gave that including that corner, to the school so that they could build their auditorium there.
Mm-hmm.
And then that awful thing that San Francisco built went up. It wouldn't be so bad if it weren't painted the red shade.
Mm-hmm.
If it were some other shade.
Did you tile the hearts?
Yes. I did the whole thing. And because Herbert Beyer looked at it when the Aspen Institute, Bob Anderson, bought it for using, putting the Yorick's, Al Yorick and his wife Mel, who lived here the year round and managed the Aspen Institute. And Bob wanted them to be in this house. And at that time, I did the present decorating.
That was 1960.
I think it was. Uh-huh. Yes, it was after Watergate.
Uh-huh.
So he died in 60. Oh. So it must have been in the
90s. And that's when the Yorks lived here in the early 60s.
I think so.
Recall at what point the lights went on over this
family? No, I can't tell you that. I don't remember. I remember putting a sofa in here and an armchair that, where's my friend there? I think it must have been a new thing.
What kind of floor was it?
Oh, this, the third floor.
This wood plastic.
Yes, these tomatoes came out of 100 years. And I think it's a good spot.
And then this part, and look around, and wait, there's no deal for you, I have a
dining room. The dining room table and all that. You know, there's a lot of stuff. And I do it well. This kind of thing. But all the more flows I did.
Mm-hmm.
With the little puppy that used to be in my grandfather's place.
And do you remember where the entrance to the kitchen was? Was it at that place where it is now?
I think it was. And then there was a staircase here.
Yeah.
Which I rebuilt.
Uh-huh.
It was closed off.
Uh-huh.
When the...
This doorway was closed off?
When the cane sheets and you see the Aspen Institute used this for overflow.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't do the proper. My husband had so little money and he just wanted to spend the least. And so they closed off everything they could. Lawrence Elisha was in charge of it. And he, as an engineer, did the worst thing you can imagine. He didn't look at the basement where the furnace was to see that it was, you could see daylight four ways through the stone.
Mm-hmm.
Which, do you imagine what happened in the day?
Mm-hmm.
Everything froze
cool.
up. Everything, all the pipes and everything. And they were always renewing the pipes and never repairing the basement. So when I took charge in 1960 after Walter died, first of all, I'm a trained designer and architect. So I went down in the basement and looked at it, and I could just see daylight four ways. And I said, this is it. So we had to begin with the foundations of the house. And I opened this, and the King Sheeds was the chef for the Jerome Hotel, and they had these rooms, and they had five radiators in here going, just to keep warm. This was their bedroom.
Well, before 1960, you bought it, and then you...
Then we just redid it.
Redid it.
So that... upstairs we could put extra guests from the Jerome Hotel.
Right. So you rented
out. Henri Kishid and his French wife lived down here.
And then they rented out the rooms upstairs to the hotel.
The Jerome Hotel.
So the house was sold in the first time you saw it was in 45.
Yes, that's
But what happened then? Did you buy it then, or is that when
No,
that's when
we
our
bought
Oh, he bought it then. Yeah. And then he sold it to R.O. Anderson for the Institute.
No, he had nothing to do with it. My husband owned it until he died.
Oh, okay.
And right, after that, I inherited.
Uh-huh.
And then I put $37,000 to remodel it the way it is now,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
practically, and to make it possible for the Urichs to live in.
Okay.
And I lent them furniture and gave them furniture for the house and did all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it cost me about $38,000 at that time. And with the land, I sold it to Bob Anderson exactly what it had cost us.
I see. Okay. Wow.
Bob Anderson got a good course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was...
I did it for the good of the Institute. I just threw my own work and everything else into it, and I got everything wholesale because I was a decorator
exactly.
myself, and so from Chicago I could send things from the merchandise market.
Mm-hmm.
Did you add this hall then in here?
Yes, I think the hall was.
And then this?
I think somehow the hall was there. I don't know just how it functioned. I can't remember exactly.
And then this room here was, how did this function?
This was a...
I probably offered
this one. I think this was an extra guest room or something.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it?
There's a lot of space under the stairs.
It probably was the old kitchen. The problem, yes, it went out on the back porch.
But was there, in the old pictures, was there still a porch here?
In the, yes. Even a ran around.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Ran around the house.
And when you did the remodeling, you had that porch, this section of the porch taken off there?
I think it was the Urichs that wanted it out.
Oh.
I can't remember. They also repainted it the way I didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
On
mm-hmm.
the outside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where are they now?
York and now, I think they're in New York.
Mm-hmm. And Mrs.
Yes, I know it. I'm sure.
Mrs. Papke, if this was the kitchen, what was this room here then? That's now the kitchen, do you recall?
Now, wait a minute. The kitchen must have been here. This was, as I remember, an extra room for when they had a maid originally,
uh-huh.
you know, in the 1880s
yeah.
or so. I think she lived there.
Mm-hmm. A maid's room?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, was a maid's room.
That was
the old kitchen.
Yes, I think that was it.
Uh-huh. And we know that this this was re-sheetrocked and things like that. Do you recall, was it because of damage to the wall?
The place, my dear, the plaster was coming down. It was just awful.
Okay.
Originally,
uh-huh.
when
uh-huh.
we saw it.
Yeah.
It was just a mess.
Okay.
It was just nothing. It was a shambles. And as you went up the stairs, all the old houses here had attics full of old magazines
mm-hmm.
and personal letters. And when they deserted the town, they just fled. And so then people came in and went, Dorothy Shaw amongst them, and went through everything in this house. Whatever Dorothy wanted, she pulled out of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the result was that all the letters came pouring down from the attic floor, which
mm-hmm.
is the third floor, came down the staircase like confetti.
You
pick up old letters on the way in.
Do you happen to recall if this closet was original to what you knew?
I cannot.
Okay. Well, there are just certain things that are not typical.
I think that was a closet with shelves in it,
uh-huh.
in which they had their china
yeah.
and various
okay.
things.
Okay. All right. Well, it wasn't typical of an 1880s house, I guess, to have these necessarily these little alcove kind of things. So we
why
want.
Why not?
I don't know.
I mean, how this house in Baltimore was that. Place.
Did it have things
oh,
like that for china and things off the dining room?
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I just, my recollection was that there would have been a china cabinet and things like that, or buffet.
Well,
or
there were no closets in which you hung your clothes.
Yeah.
There were always wardrobes in the room.
Uh-huh. But
they usually had a china closet or something that they could close up.
Okay.
You know, they kept, I don't know, grandfather used to have tins, handsomely lacquered tins, with crackers and cookies mm-hmm. and things like that, that they didn't necessarily want to have out on the sideboard.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they had little cubby holes like that mm-hmm. that they put them into.
Do you know, was the stairway in the entryway or the foyer, was that stairway the same as it is now?
Yes.
Okay.
And there was a bench, as I remember,
mm-hmm.
built in
yeah.
at the bottom.
Yeah, we still have that. And that was it in the house. You did not add the bench
no.
then? Okay.
That's exactly the way it was.
Okay. Uh-huh. Do you recall what the wood was before it was painted?
I think it was oak or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm. And all the wainscoting, you didn't change the wainscoting or anything like that?
No.
Paint it over?
We just painted over.
Okay.
Yes, I think it was that yellow oak.
Okay. And
it was
you?
Yes, I think that's what you'll find it's underneath.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the houses have mm-hmm. it. I can't swear to it.
Yeah.
But that's what
yeah.
I think.
Do you know, was the tile here, you added the tile along with the mantelpiece?
I tell you, everything was just boarded up and
uh-huh.
closed up.
Uh-huh.
Just awful.
Okay. Would you like to go upstairs and
right,
see if
certainly.
You can recall anything that...
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, the best way to find out is just to take sandpaper
mm-hmm.
and find out what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll find out. Stairway is just as good. And find it on it and painted it.
Uh-huh.
Right, and put this black wall paint
the window.
This used to be in the Jerome Hotel and belonged to Dorothy Shaw.
What did? This?
Lady
this?
Painted?
No.
Oh.
I think Lady painted. Huh?
Was in the Jerome?
Yes, Dorothy Shaw loaned it to us.
Oh.
Yes, that was in the Jerome. We put it in the bar
mm-hmm.
with a lot of other pictures.
I think I remember that was there in the 50s, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, ever since 49.
Yeah.
The greatest one. We did so much.
And the big gifts and flowers
and everything. What did you like that one? And I put the tile in and the mantelpiece.
Mm-hmm.
And the hearth had tile also? On the hearth?
Yeah. That was in there. Kenny Isaacson.
Oh.
I think Kenny Isaacson.
Yeah. Well, do you recall, you must have added the bathroom. Do
yes.
you recall, is that?
Look, I don't recall sure.
Well, I mean, that's a long time ago.
I mean, I can't remember
yeah.
just where I added the bathroom,
uh-huh.
what we did and things. Just
well, maybe that was there and you just remodeled it, kind of, or something.
Mm-hmm.
There must have been bathrooms
yes,
in the
think,
house.
I think it was.
Uh-huh.
And I just remodeled it.
Well, this is the rock collection thing we had. Apparently there was a closet here.
I'm sure of that.
Yeah, and do you recall whether you added the closet? It's
no,
partly.
No.
That was here.
And there was a closet here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then this
cleaning closet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. We're real anxious to also.
I never. Yeah.
Do you recall where the furniture came from? Was that your furniture as a child?
This is the one that I think goes downstairs in the living room. This was Walter's furniture that we had in our old house in San Antonio. But I couldn't tell you where I bought it.
In what town?
In San Antonio.
We had
a house out in San Antonio. And it was a Victorian house, and so I put Victorian furniture in it. And I'm sure that chair and this sofa belonged downstairs in the living room.
And they were in the house probably when you bought it?
I think they were.
Okay.
I think they were. But I had some other chairs.
This one is the match to it.
That one.
And then there's the little commode or,
That's mine. That was my grandfather's. That was my grandfather's. These are the two chairs and the sofa that belong in the room downstairs.
Great.
Then there was a night table for this, and it was, that was my grandfather's. And these pictures we had in our house in San Antonio.
And the dresser, that was your...
That was Walter's.
And what did you give
us? And the lamps are...
And did you give the these pictures also? Yes. Well, there's another chair back in the music. Yeah,
I had two other chairs that belonged to my grandfather, and they were here in this room. And this was mine also.
The dog.
That's right. Was this,
I don't remember.
Was this one of the chairs?
No.
Okay.
And what about these instruments? Were these part of your collection?
I don't think so. We had a thing like this, but we threw it out. It was in the Pioneer Park. But not out for playing a piano.
Is there any furniture from the Pioneer Park in here?
Well, yes, I transferred from Pioneer Park over here. But I don't save the chairs. But the mountains. They were in my grandfather's house library in Baltimore. But they've been exchanged or given away or somehow or something.
Or they're probably around somewhere.
And this was just a single bedroom.
Uh-huh.
And these closets were all added later on. We had a single bed in here.
No bedroom.
And then there was the staircase that went to the attic.
Upstairs.
And this was open as I remember, because I went up to the attic, and then that was the thing that had all the papers and everything. And then I remodeled that whole place up there, and there were beds up there that I gave. You know, they were regular, comfortable beds. But the Margolinuses did something that was unethical. They would rent their house in the winter for $1,000 a week, because my nephew rented it from the Mother Christmas one. And then they'd move in here and sleep upstairs on the third floor.
Over Christmas.
Since the museum has owned the house, that happened after the museum?
Yes. Ramona was vice president of the museum. I was on the board. Mrs. Gould was president. That's when I resigned. Because she fought me on giving that land to the Given Institute. And she sent letters on historical museum paper.
She meaning who?
Mrs. Gould.
Joyce Gould.
On the historical museum paper. With my name on it, as one of the directors. She wrote on that paper and sent it around to everyone that belonged to the museum or contributed to the museum, and said I was doing a terrible thing to the city of Aspen by allowing the University of Colorado to come up here with a Gibbon Institute, and that I'd give them this land there, where they were going to have large halls for conventions and I don't know what all. And it was going to ruin the whole character of the West End of Aspen.
But she didn't look into the plans, did
she? She didn't look into the plans. She didn't even come to see me to ask me what was true and what wasn't. And so I said, this is where I just... And Wendy Morris was the vice president, I think. Ramona was in it with Mrs. Dole. She just went along. And I said, under those circumstances, I cannot belong to it. Stop for me.
It was the Historical Museum then bought it from the Institute.
No, the Institute gave it. Okay. I'm sure gave it.
But we had a burning of the marsh. We must have had to pay something for the land or something. I guess maybe that's
right. I don't know.
Because they had a burning of the mortgage of the house, and then just last year we had a burning of the mortgage of the carriage house.
Well, the carriage house was sort of a major addition.
Yes.
Were there any outbuildings on the land when you acquired it in 45?
No.
Just a house, okay.
Just a house, and the little house over here in the corner that was sold to Bert Bigelow.
Everything's changed hands so many times over the years that you lose track of who.
Yeah, we just know who owns it now.
Yeah.
The condition of the plaster and everything in the walls, you have to paper it. Or stretch it with or something you can just see. But it's cracked. And that is why I papered it. I would suggest for a museum, you have a lot of money to spend, to have it covered with grass cloth or something that's neutral like that, on which you can hang photographs and whatever paintings and anything you want. To have a neutral background. But that one is just a
Try and redo it and not have...
And this petition.
I mean, this is from the Girola Museum. They may very well like to have that.
We should make a deal.
I don't agree with that.
No.
But, that, well, I mean, that's
That is part of Aspen. And so if you want to retain the flavor of what really belongs here, that really does. Mm-hmm. It was, and we put it in the Girola and bought it from Dorothy Shaw.
You don't have any idea where Dorothy got it? But she got them for every place all over, didn't she?
She did. She was a pack rat.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't blame her. She was the only one who had any brains around here. And she also was a born miser. In my life, I'd read about them, but I'd never met them. Mm-hmm. The guy, was it?
Yeah, I remember she had that reputation.
Yeah.
Well, I just knew for
that. Yeah, you
know, I came into it. It was a disease with her.
Yeah.
And that's when her grandson had some.
Yeah.
Young Harry.
Well, does young Harry still own a lot of the Shaw property? They sold quite a bit of it.
They sold almost all of it.
Sold almost all of it. He's lived in Denver with his wife, his son, and good riddance. I did that. Dorothy was, you can't believe, she came of a very distinguished German family. Her uncle, was the famous Robert Koch, who discovered the bacillus of the tuberculosis in Germany. He was a famous man.
That was her father.
That was her great uncle or her uncle.
Well, I don't know what else I can do.
Well, that helps a lot. Yeah. It does help a lot.
I've been scratching my head trying to figure out what happened. I think that there's a little noise.
Oh.
Because it used to be over in the corner.
A man's point.
It didn't belong to Pioneer Park. I mean, it was in Pioneer Park because we lived there.
Yeah.
How long did you live in Pioneer Park? You met the group?
We lived in a lamb house. I rebuilt that. We lived there for about 2 years.
Where's the lamb house?
Lamb house is the house with the turnaround on it, which is across the little triangular park from where I live now. I don't know who owns it.
Oh!
Louise and Frank Stanton, not Frank Stanton, the Edgar Stanton's older brother, Frank, had it for a while.
Mrs. Icky's
house. I know it is.
Mm-hmm.
The Icky's house. You see, the Stattons bought it from us.
I see.
And then Mrs. Icky bought it from Mr. Stratton.
Okay.
Then we moved into the
Pioneer Park.
And that was about 47 or 48, we moved into Pioneer Park. And we lived there until 56 when we moved to the brown house, which I think
is the house you live in now.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that is the brown, because there seems to be a lot of
brown houses. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then didn't Slice
but there were
Slice
a lot of browns.
Yeah.
There was Bert Brown, and then there was Darcy Brown's father, Eugene Darcy Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the Darcy Brown house from 1915.
The one you're in now?
Yeah. From 1888 when it was built for 7 years. I have it in my book. And then the Brown house was burned down for the present elementary school.
Well, now, Spicer stayed at the Pioneer Park, didn't he?
Yes,
did he?
When what was finally the stable. And
we
rebuilt that and made a sitting room downstairs and up above the bedroom where the loft was.
A lot of us call that the carriage house, but it was a stable.
It was their stable,
the
same carriage house.
Mm-hmm. Stable carriage.
You know, they had a carriage, and then the hayloft was upstairs, and then there was the machine shop and various other things that ran that length. And we rebuilt it. And we moved in there.
Yeah.
And we used to put guests in there. So Classy was practically the first guest in front, and everyone said we put him in the main gift. Put a saint in the main gift.
Yeah. And I remember the Reverend Jerome, one of the Jerome managers lived there, Super Love, and
Charlie Sal. I put him in there after Walter died, and Bob Anderson took over, and Tom Sardi and Lawrence Elijah. Lawrence Elijah was so anxious to get Jerome back into his own home. So he persuaded Bob Anderson, who was then president of the Main Street. And I had, well, it's a long story. I owned 60-some% of the Saudis, the Aspen Lumber and Supply. And Walter persuaded me to take instead $150,000 or something like that from the put it into the Jerome Hotel. And the Jerome Hotel, that would make it forever a landmark. Keep it that way, and because it would be owned by the Aspen Institute and not so.
Do you like the way it's?
Yes, very much. I don't like the outside. I prefer the Herbert's color.
Mm-hmm. The white and the blue. Mm-hmm.
Yes, the white and blue and the green. Mm-hmm. We did it for a purpose. And those, all the brick that was made up here, you know, the old brick that was in this house, and all of them were built on the same brick, Pioneer Park. It was very porous, and so in winter, it just bled through into the inner walls. If you touched a wall, it was ice cold, and there was no way to insulate those walls. In the early days, you know, they didn't have a clear space in between the brick, you know, and studding, and then the plaster. But they just painted on top of it and chicken wire over it, and put the plaster right on the stove. And then put wallpaper on top of it or something like that. The walls were just damp as cold you can't imagine. So to keep that from bleeding from the outside, it had to be painted. Now they have a silica that you can paint with it that closes the pores of it. And I think that's what they've done. But the old drum looked exactly now the way it did then, when I first saw it in 39. It was dreary in winter, and it's dreary and hot looking in summer. That's my feeling. That's my personal feeling. And Herbert Byer, yeah, is a world-renowned colorist. The inside out of the summer that they've done, I mean, has been particularly. I really do.
Can you give me your opinions or judgments on the visual system? Can you just write next to
that? It takes so much money. To remove all this paint, to get it down to the original wood, which you probably want to do. Then what do you do?
Once you start.
Then you have to start doing that and all the people
in there.
And I didn't know. I don't know where you begin or where you end. I mean, I have a lot of ideas. But remember, the wood is about 1/6. So then you have to begin from scratch. The first bit of wood, and then you put something that goes with it that's neutral enough so that you can not try to put solid rock or anything. The overtone of it is a loneliness. The tone of the leaders have been stricken and then they're on the ceiling. And the rock is going up so high. And then you have a dull leaf, a molding that went along. And then the ceiling would come down to that dull molding. And that you have picture wires. And all the pictures were kept in the album. That's the way these families were. And then they had white and gold stripes walking for the coming from their piece. That's the way they did the house. And it's beautiful. And all the pictures that I've seen of the Central City in the old house. And it's easy to find up there. It includes $75, I think, for the house. It was one of the highest houses there. Had the most heavenly wanted brilliant pink. And the dark blue with white roses and gold leaf centers and little gold leaves. Oh, she was just the most heavenly love that I've ever seen. But it hung in spirit. You know, they tried to just with that. to listen. He did not like that. I went to Denver when I redid the houses of Aniston and had all the houses to be. I was a contractor. The one had to do it. We had to put up the carpenter in Aniston, there was an electrician in Aniston. And the joy of it was that the ladies, other ladies, who would take on their laundry and give them their homes. That was the joy. But the rest, there was no one. And so in order to do electricity to the ground control or anything, we had to tell people from Brandon Springs and all of the eagle, even the poor.
So do you have to take them out of the same place?
No, we have an ice cream. 7,000 acres.
Little ice cream. Oh, that was your turkey. Very short.
Which is now such a big mystery. Talk about it.
Yeah.
It was a game to do.
Before you had your turkey down.
The hard times, it was hard to get the lights for. I played between Denver and here.
Yeah, how many years ago? How many?
We had it from 7,000.
That's been a long time. And then the Watton house, the ranch manager had put the thermostat up in our house and he turned it down to 55 in the living room over the furnace. You can imagine what happened upstairs. All the pipes froze. And then he turned it up to 70 degrees and all the water, it was in the ceilings and everything. And when I opened the back kitchen door, I had stretched it all the linen, you know, the way you'd have to here. Now, or leave the wallpaper on the painter here, or do something like that. It hung like the underbelly of an animal or something.
Full of water.
As the door, you know, opened like that, just the shock of it, split this, and all the water came down over the kitchen stove, over the tables, over everything, the dining room. It was just a mess, and Dickie's guests couldn't stay there. And Barry and Hughes, who was a good friend of ours, wonderful man, from Denver, had told me that skiing up here in Austin was heaven.
Barry
and Hughes belonged to the Hughes family.
Barry or Marion?
Barion. B-E-R-R-I-E-N. And Barry and his, he had two older brothers, Gerald and
the
Hughes family, they had a large house on Grant Street. Anyway, Barry and his bones at Yale never did a thing after that. to drink and or speak. And he's the one who told me about it. And so it was a ghost town that I could come up with and see it. So with the Munsons from Washington with Steve's, I thought I'd have to come up here and see what it was like. So we saw.
And you stayed at the Highland Pavilion, did you?
Oh, no. Where? Stayed at the Durham.
Oh, you stayed at the Durham. Oh, yeah, I remember you telling that story when during the opening.
Yes. With the one, no lights, you know, with the one electric light bulb under the portrait in front of the Durham.
Then you went back and talked to it about Walter, and then?
I went back and I said it would be marvelous to be here in the summer when it got awfully hot all around. We should bring the children up here and go camping. Now Walter, he camping in him is enough. Absolutely. But after the war, when he came up here, he saw suddenly that Aspen was a ghost town and that it had no jobs, nobody. You know, there was nothing up here. I think there were, I remember when he called the first meeting, there were, I think, less than 50 able-bodied men that showed up from the whole town. Mm-hmm. Louise Bird was the one. Mm-hmm. She was the secretary of the court. Mm-hmm. So Judge Shaw presided, and Louise Bird took down the notes. I don't know where they were. Mm-hmm. I'd be some very bad. So there must be somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you come up camping?
Or was that what we didn't
think of? But you didn't come with a children, I think.
No, he bought a house.
Oh.
Oh, it's awful. I could have killed him. I didn't want that. Mm-hmm. No. I didn't want a house up here.
You had one back in Chicago.
Well, first, no, we lived in an apartment in Chicago. We had a farm outside of Chicago, on which there was a large house, where we went weekends. Mm-hmm. Then Walter bought Kelly Park. So there, I was running kind of around three houses on Kelly Park. And the last thing I wanted was a house up here now. Yeah.
So then when you moved up here, did you sell the Perry Park?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He needed the money for that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why I sold the Perry Park. Mm-hmm. Over my bleeding body. Well, it turned out well.
Yeah, I should say.
I couldn't continue down there all by myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always been down there 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time.
26.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 60. Thank you. So it's very fortunate, I think.
Yeah.
No matter how I regret it.
Well, yeah. Anthem's turned out pretty low and pretty late.
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. Look at Wexner
mm-hmm.
and that house up there right on the other side of the fence of the Hudson Mill. Mm-hmm. 22,000 square feet, one house. You know.
And
now, when he gets tired of that and sells it, then who is he going to sell it?
Yeah,
all he can do with it is make a hotel out of it.
Oh, I agree. I think there's a house
or
something in mind.
I think it's terrible. Look at these people that come here, houses are up for sale. A house I knew not of, the old Ruby house.
Mm-hmm. Right across from the
school.
Mm-hmm.
On the corner there. It's mm-hmm. now for sale for $664,000. Well, you know, I just think of that. Mm-hmm. I think of the house. And I rebuilt it in the first place. Then the Rubies added on to it and made it larger. Yeah, by learning a lot. from the original house. And now it's 600 and something.
Well, thank you so much.
Could you have to do lunch with us? Can we go to the community?